I'm going to say this as straight as I possibly can. I am begging you, if you're a parent and you've got kids there, that this subject is just too upsetting for your young children. Please get them out of the room or change the station. We urge you to exercise parental discretion.
Hey, Uncle, how much you give me for this radio, huh? Now, this hot little old radio, man, is worth plenty of rubles, man. It's got lots of juice. You got shortwave, police call, boats. Late at night, man, you get out of space. Come on, Uncle, just make me an offer. Now, this is a $100 radio, man. It's got a clear tone. Boy, that's clear as a mother's old bell. Let me see. Come on, baby. Show the man your power, baby. Blast him! Give him some of that tone! Oh, man. You radio, you mother!
Hey, Jim, what about TV? You like TV?
What?
New thing, Jim. A television.
Oh, pictures.
Yeah.
No pictures.
Why not?
Everything these days is pictures. Pictures and a lot of noise. Nobody even knows how to talk. Just grunt at each other.
Babies that were sacrificed. Forsaken.
I will probably have nightmares tonight about it.
From the nightmares, to the running around the room when they disclose, to the latching on, to the crying and saying, Mommy, 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 don't go out, because if you go out, they're going to kill you. Threats, intimidation, fear.
Now, if you're going to stay cool, you got to wail. You got to put something down. You got to make some jive. Don't you know what I'm talking about?
Well, that's all I'm saying.
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man.
Rejection of parental values. Unusual interest in books on Satanism, black magic, or witchcraft. Obsession with rock music groups using satanic symbols or references. Rejection of friends. Preference for being alone. Meditation, chanting, use of new vocabulary.
Is it the force of evil? Does it disrupt? Is it a force for everything negative?
There's two kind of laws, honey. One for the rich, and one for the poor.
He sees all and knows all. He's wise. He's kind. He is fair. He loves truth and goodness.
Listen, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the dogs, the filth. Here is someone who stood up.
Hey, buddy. This is the state of New Jersey, and I don't care who you are.
Chris, are you on the air?
Hello, Jim.
Hello. There you are. Wow, that worked.
Amazing. The first ever aerial view phone-in host show.
Well, with the host phoning in, live remote.
The phone-in host.
Yeah.
I'm snowbound, like I'm sure a lot of us are today.
Yeah.
And well, I still wanted to do my show because, you know, my Valentine's show is one of my favorites.
It is.
Yes.
Okay.
And I didn't want to miss my Valentine's show, and I thank you, Jim, for agreeing to stick around and run the phone lines.
Well, I'm doing the best I can, and I'll stick with you if you stick with me.
Okay. I think it's going good so far.
Yeah. First 5 minutes are okay.
The first 5 minutes have been grand.
Yeah.
This is a very strange experience for me because I'm standing in my room looking out the window at the frozen Hudson River.
Right. You're in... Well, I don't want to tell the people where you live, but...
I live in Edgewater. I don't care if they know.
Yeah.
But the frozen Hudson River reminds me very much of my soul today.
Ooh. Why is that?
It was named after Henry Hudson. I bet you didn't know that. No. It, too, feels icy.
Yeah.
Because Valentine's Day is coming up, and I am without a Valentine this year.
Well, that makes two of us.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet there's many others out there, Jim. And today what we want to do is we want to talk to those folks.
Okay.
And we're going to do a tie-in show.
Yeah.
You know, we discussed doing this show earlier.
Right.
Lyrics to songs you've always misunderstood.
Yeah, that's something I've thought about and sometimes talked about here. And often when I play a song and I don't really know what's going on, I usually just tell my audience, I confess my ignorance, and I hope that they can fill me in on what it is. And,
You know, that's what makes your show rise above so many others.
Really? The ignorance.
Confessions of Ignorance.
Yeah. Well, that's important to me. I think the truth.
I think you do a damn good show, Jim.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, I'm sure there have always been those songs, and we have to do a tie-in to, let's say, love songs. But, of course, it doesn't have to just be love songs.
Okay, I actually have a few.
Where you sort of made up your own lyrics because you didn't understand the actual lyrics.
Well, I've always done that, too. But, for instance, Elvis Costello was always my favorite that way because I couldn't quite tell what he was saying, but I would always sing along anyway, whatever I thought it was.
All right, I guess, is it unfair of me to ask for an example?
Right now it would be, but there are other songs. We've discussed this once before, I remember, and the song I had told you about was the Bobby Gentry song, Ode to Billy Joe, and once I played it on the air, and I got into quite a discussion with some of the listeners as to what that song was really about and what was going on in it.
Right, and I told you I thought it was about that they were throwing their unwanted child off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Well, that's one of the questions, is what is she throwing off the bridge? And I didn't think it was a baby, but I was wondering whether there was an abortion involved or there was a murder involved or something.
I think it's an unwanted baby.
Okay,
let's open the phone line at this point.
Yeah, the phone number here is 201-678-7743, and we're looking for people who can...
What was Bobby Joe McAllister throwing off the Tallahatchie Bridge anyway?
I don't know. Hello, well, you're on the air?
Do we have a caller?
We have a caller, but I'm trying to get them up on the air here. And I haven't done this before. So once again, I'm admitting my ignorance with the whole thing.
Now, maybe I could talk you through it like a guy who's
this is
never
like
flown an airplane
Airport
before.
75. That's what it's
That's
like.
That's right.
Exactly like that.
Okay. And
yeah.
It's a horrible snowstorm I'm talking you through.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing exactly?
Well, I'm trying to get line 2 up on the air.
Have you pressed down the button that says line 2?
Yeah.
And have you pressed air?
Which one first?
The one all the way to the left.
Uh-huh.
The lower panel.
Yeah.
Press that button and then line 2.
Okay. I did that.
And there was nothing?
No, nothing.
Maybe the caller isn't speaking, Jim. Maybe it's not your fault.
Well, let's try line 3. Mm-hmm. That's not working.
Obviously, this plane is about to crash.
Well, we're running out of gas anyway.
I'm trying to visualize exactly what it is you're doing.
Okay, that should work. Thanks,
Hello?
David.
Hello?
Caller, Hello. You're on the air.
Hi, you finally got me.
Yeah.
Had a little trouble there. You want some songs with some weird lyrics?
Well, we had... Actually, what we were talking about was the song... What song were we talking
Ode
about?
To Billy
Ode
Joe.
To Billy Joe. Well, what have you got in mind?
I've got a Nirvana song.
Which one is that? Is Chris still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay.
It's called Milk It.
Milk It?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
The chorus is real weird.
Yeah.
All he says is, of course, you can't understand what he's saying because he totally screams it, ruins music. But,
right.
Cobain saying, dull steak, test meat.
And you're sure that's what he's saying?
I have it right here on my, it says the songs, and then he says, just have it right here, dull steak, test meat.
Okay, but what about Ode to Billy Joel? What do you think they are throwing off the bridge there?
I think they're throwing crack babies.
Okay, that's something anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
or dirty socks.
The interesting thing about Nirvana is they've added a whole new chapter to the history of misunderstood song lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
There was, of course, that thing they put together on MTV when Smells Like Teen Spirit was a heavy rotation video where people were sort of interpreting the lyrics to that song.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, I still don't know what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
yeah.
probably part of the charm of the song.
Yeah, they're mysterious. No one can understand them.
So what is he saying again in this song?
In Milk It?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dull steak, test meat.
Well... There you go. That's the genius of Kurt Cobain.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, for many years, the parallel here, obviously, is John Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the nonsense lyrics that he wrote and things that sound like other languages to Beatles fans, but turned out to mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's got something in common with a great songwriter who was shot in his prime.
Yeah, well, I don't think you can really compare Nirvana to Beatles.
Oh, sure. They're today's Beatles.
Okay. We have another caller.
I could see this discussion going
going nowhere because, you know.
Okay.
Okay, Dirty Socks.
All right. Thank you, caller. And
thanks, Jim. That was
we've got someone else
call.
Here. Caller, are you on the air?
Yeah, I'm on the air.
Okay.
I think are we talking about the lyrics of Ode to Billy Joe, or?
We're talking about whatever you'd like to talk about, caller. This is an open forum.
Okay, well, I think a good Valentine song is Grammar Rap.
What the hell is Grammar Rap?
It's a very nice ditty on the album called Bob's Mediacology.
Oh,
really?
You know,
here we go.
Okay.
Jim, you...
What's that?
See, over the phone, I can't tell that guy's voice.
I know.
If I was there, I would have recognized it.
Well, as soon as he said that.
anyway, the number is 201-678-7743.
Right. I have that song queued up, by the way, I believe.
Okay, great.
Sometime if you would like to hear it.
Absolutely. Let's see if a couple more people want to call and figure out what's going on.
You
know, I hear that your area, or the area where WFMU is located, is one of the hardest hit in terms of snowfall.
It looks pretty bad. It hasn't stopped all day. Here we go. Well, that part I understand.
That's pretty clear.
Uh-huh. Well, what are you going to do for Valentine's Day, then?
You know, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
I don't actually know yet.
Okay.
I have this short story that I was going to read today. Unfortunately, I don't have it here with me.
All right. Wait, here comes the good parts.
Okay.
Today, Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Okay, now it's...
Okay, here's what I think happened in this song.
Yeah.
Billy Joe was in love with... What's her face? Who's the girl in the song?
The girl. I don't know if she's named. Billy Joe. Billy Joe. No, he's the fellow.
Billy Joe. Did she say Billy Joel?
I keep saying that, you know? It's like a Freudian thing.
If he jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge, I'd be very happy.
Right.
But here's what I think would happen. You know the priest in the song?
Yeah.
He knocked up the girl.
That could be it. That's something that occurred.
And they got rid of the unwanted baby by flinging it off the bridge.
Right.
And Billy Joel was so overcome with guilt and grief that he jumped off the bridge himself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a double tragedy.
Okay. Let's see what this caller has to say.
Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, I think what Ode to Billy Joel is about is probably that. I think it's definitely about suicide, but. One line of the song said, you know, picking cotton all day.
Yeah.
Well, I think that maybe he's a slave worker that he couldn't take it anymore. He just snapped and killed himself.
Okay, that's an interpretation.
But also another song that I have trouble with is Rocket Man by Elton John.
Yeah, what's the line that you don't get?
Well, I'm not too sure because I haven't, like, I don't have the lyrics to the song. He doesn't really give them out, but I don't know. I can't interpret it.
Uh-huh.
Like, some of the lines that I hear, he's talking about being out in space. And
right after he says Rocket Man, what does he say?
Burning down the something.
I don't know, I can't understand it.
Out here alone, something, I don't know, I'm not sure what that is.
Oh, burning down the, it sounds like he says Fields of Avalon.
That's probably it. Okay.
Makes as much sense as anything else.
Okay, thank you, caller.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks for calling.
Hello, are you on the air?
Yeah.
Yeah, what does Elton John say right after he says Rocket Man?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure? We thought you might know. What? Mm. Have you got a song you'd like to suggest for Valentine's Day?
Well, I've got... No, not really. I was just going to talk about that Billy Joe song.
Yeah? Well, we still got that in the background. What about it?
I think it's probably, they sound like they're from a southern area of the country, and they're probably, country people. They work, it's just picking cotton. And I guess they probably did throw the baby off. I agree with Chris with that. I think maybe they both committed suicide, like double suicide together.
Well, I think the girl is still around by the song's end, though.
Oh, is it? I've never heard the whole thing.
Yeah, the people who die are Billy Joe and her mother.
Right, her mother. Oh, yeah.
Her mother.
Her father
died.
Yeah.
Her father died.
That's right. I'd forgotten that part.
How does the father die?
He caught a flu
caught
or
a virus
something, right?
Going around.
Yeah.
In the spring. Kind of cheap. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Now, there actually is a Tallahatchie Bridge. I mean, you know, it's
right.
I think it's in Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Or either that or Mississippi. Now, at least someone could call and tell us what the hell state this song takes place in.
Sure.
And maybe we could unravel the mystery from there.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi. I don't know where the bridge is, but I do have a theory about what was being thrown off the bridge.
And what do you think it was?
Love letters.
Love letters from who to whom?
Love letters from Billy Joe's girlfriend to him.
Right.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, that's...
It's not as dramatic.
It's not as dramatic. That's why I kind of avoided that in my own thoughts.
Caller, do you remember the plot of the movie where I think Billy Joe was Robbie Benson?
I don't even remember the movie.
The movie starred, I think it was Billy Joe was Robbie Benson, and I forgot the name of the female actress, but if I recall, there was a homosexual subplot in the movie that suggested perhaps Billy Joe had been initiated by the priest.
Wait a minute, is this true? Are you...
I'm not making this up.
Uh-huh.
And then he jumped off the bridge in shame because he had involved himself in a homosexual act with the slimy priest of the story.
Wow.
Now
right, that really opens up a whole.
Now you didn't know that this number one pop song was about an homosexual affair between a priest and a young boy, did you?
No, I absolutely had no idea.
Well, see, it's a lot deeper than you thought.
I
think it bears a second.
It's much more interesting than just love letters.
Love letters, my eye.
Love letters from the girlfriend to the boyfriend. So I also have a Valentine's song.
You have a Valentine's what?
A Valentine's song, which I always never understood the lyrics of.
Now, are you going to be alone? Are you going to be alone this Valentine's Day, or do you have a Valentine?
I'm married.
Oh, okay.
So I've had a Valentine for many years. But my Valentine's song is Baby Blue by Badfinger.
Baby Blue by Badfinger.
Yeah, you know that song?
No.
Mm-hmm.
If I could sing, I would sing it to you, but I can't sing. But there's this line in it that goes, I wish I could be in two places.
Could you be persuaded to sing?
No. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I absolutely can't.
Do you know the song she's referring to, Jim?
Yeah, in fact.
You could play it.
I think we have it.
I absolutely love it. I used to listen
somewhere.
To it like every day before high, you know, going to school. When
and
I was
why did you listen to it every day?
Huh?
You listened to it every day before going to school?
Yeah, well, didn't you, when you were like 15, have a song that you listened to every day?
Yeah, I suppose I did.
Right.
I'm about to confess the song that I tried to unravel that I think I did a horrible job of. It was a song that the lyrics were not available to. And it was Kashmir.
Kashmir.
Right.
Kashmir by Led Zeppelin. And I think the listeners of the show know that, you know, during my high school days, I was seriously into that band, and I spent a whole night trying to decipher the lyrics to Kashmir.
Were you
picking
ever
the needle up off the record and putting it back down 1,000 times.
Ruining the record.
And ruining the record,
and
right.
Ruining the record. Were you ever able to decipher it?
Well, I deciphered it in my own unique way, based on, you know, the conceptions of a 15-year-old.
Right.
And yeah. I really wish I had hung on to those lyrics. I think they would have been very illuminating, and I could have probably gotten some psychoanalytic mileage out of them.
Well, I'd love to hear that. Yeah, when you're 15, I mean, you listen to songs, but you don't really know very much. And
I don't think the lyrics are available to this day, to that song. I don't think you could find the lyrics to that song.
Maybe there's a reason for it.
What was that?
I said maybe there's a reason for that.
There may be. You're absolutely right. It's as deep as the mystery of what's going on in that bridge.
Yeah.
Now, Jim, is it possible to contact the songwriter of that song and ask her?
The songwriter of Ode to Billy Joe?
Yeah, that was Jeannie C. Riley.
Not tonight. I don't think we could get through. But what do you mean?
I'm just saying, at this point of her career, she's probably listed with information.
Oh, right. I see what you mean.
You could probably call her up at her comfortable home somewhere in the you know, surrounding Nashville and ask her.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly what the hell was going on in that song.
Right.
That's a very.
You think
idea.
She would tell you?
I don't know. Maybe she'd just like to prolong the mystery. You know, keep the the cachet of...
It's an enigmatic song because it means different things to different people.
Yeah.
It's Rorschach test.
Right.
I guess maybe that's why it's such a good song, too. I mean, it does have just a really good tune, but I mean, when I was 15 again, maybe that's what I think everything happened, I guess. I love that song, too.
Okay. Someone else is trying to get through.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Hello, caller. Welcome to the air.
Yeah, the Electric Baby series by David Lynch.
What about it?
Oh, that's what he was inspired by, the baby thrown off.
Oh, no, you have to hang up on this fellow.
Oh,
this,
I see.
This is the same Bob fellow as before. We'll have to work out a signal, Jim.
Yeah.
And, you know, a code word or something. How about if I shout, hang up, hang up?
Okay, that'll do it.
Welcome to the air.
Hi. I know the lyrics to Rocket Man.
You do know the lyrics to Rocket Man.
Yeah, it's Rocket Man burning up my fuse out here alone.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense. It's not burning down the fields of Avalon? I'm shocked.
No, yeah, sorry.
Burning out my fuse out here alone.
Up here alone.
Up here alone.
Right. Okay.
If we had the William Shatner version, it probably is a lot easier to understand what's being said.
I think William Shatner and Bernie Taupin were the same person at some time, you know?
Probably.
Yeah.
Any other songs that you're confused about or you would like to clear up the confusion?
Oh, no, not particularly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Jim, you've provided a public service already.
How's that?
It's only 20 minutes into the show.
Oh, 22.
22 by your count?
Yeah.
Well, there was a person out there who was terribly confused about the lyrics to Rocket Man.
Right.
Okay. So you've cleared up one more issue in his life.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the air.
Hello.
Yeah.
First of all, I do believe the Tallahatchie Bridge is in Georgia.
Okay. Chickasaw County?
I think so, yeah.
No, Chickasaw County is in Mississippi. That's where Bobby Gentry's from. I'm confusing you. Never mind.
Are we on the air?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Now, I said Jeannie C. Riley. That song is actually by Bobby Gentry.
No. I don't think she wrote that song.
Oh, I think she did.
Really?
Did she actually write that song, or is this
she's credited.
Old, like, blues song that's been
No,
like...
she wrote that song.
Because it sounds like something that I could see, like, you know, back in the slave days or whatever, someone singing, and then she just revamped it.
I don't think so. She was on the Smothers Brothers show that they're repeating these days not too long ago, and she was introduced as this exciting new songwriter and her song. So I think she wrote the song, and... I'm sorry I confused it with Jeannie C. Riley.
I guess she really was a
really
songwriter.
She was a songwriter, Bobby Gentry, absolutely.
She wrote one song.
And she's married to Jim Stafford, or she was married to Jim Stafford.
No, she wrote every song on this record. Okay.
A great Valentine's Day song, Sweet Pain by Blues Traveler.
Blues Traveler?
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Now, there's a band that I don't get.
You don't get them?
No, I don't get them. I mean, I have to ask
you... Wait a minute.
And you don't have to answer if you don't want to, caller.
Okay.
But, I mean, is Blues Traveler one of those bands that's in the Grateful Dead sphere?
So that, not really.
So that fans of the Grateful Dead...
Fans of Grateful Dead tend to flock to them, yes.
Why is that? Is that because they have that sort of loose, unstructured...
Probably. I would put it that. But their music is and it's a hell of a lot more energetic than the Dead. I mean, the Dead you could fall asleep at. A Blues Traveler show is like... up. The energy is high.
Well, they were on Letterman the other night, actually.
Yeah, yeah, they did a great...
I have a question for the caller. Do you have a Valentine this year?
Yes, I do.
You do. Now, Chris, see, he listens to Blues Traveler. He has a Valentine.
Are you making a connection?
You don't.
Here,
you make your own connections. I'm just putting the facts out.
Jim's love connection.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm Chuck Woolery here. Okay,
thanks
for
calling.
Sure, thanks.
So, Jim, you were asking me what I'm going to do this Valentine's Day. I guess I could turn it around and ask you what you're going to do this Valentine's Day.
I don't know yet either.
Really?
Really. I may listen to that special program of Dorian's, as I announced 20 minutes ago.
Now,
stay home and work and listen to the radio.
What program is that?
Oh, she's having someone on an interview, and I think we have a caller on the air. Is there someone there right
Hello?
Now? Hello. Welcome to the air.
How you guys doing? Good tune. Good tune, Billy Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, talking about Grateful Dead.
Go ahead.
I've got a lyric that's always confused me. I can't remember what song it was. I was at a concert, and it went, mustard on the corner of my mouth, tell me why.
Well, we'll have to throw that one out to the listening audience, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
The guest she's going to have is Ken Smith. He's the author of Roadside America. Sounds like something you might be interested in, Chris.
Yes, it does. Ken Smith, Roadside America?
Yeah, it's a whole series of books. I think he drives around looking at diners and things and off-the-beaten-track kind of stuff. Okay.
Well, I'll have to tune into that. That's what I'll do for Valentine's Day.
Okay, welcome to the air.
Hi.
Martha.
Chris, I want to be your Valentine.
Sorry,
Martha?
I had an itchy finger there, itchy trigger finger on that call.
Oh, you should never hang up on Martha.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Martha and I are friends. I suggest Martha calls back.
Right.
Jim didn't know.
Let me see.
Jim, there's a big difference between Martha and other men who sound really silly.
Welcome to the air.
Yeah, Steve, the manager should be screaming the calls.
I'm sorry, sir?
Hang up, he'll say. Chris, say hang up. Bob's Mediacology.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, hang up, Jim.
Okay, I did.
I'm sorry, my phone has a real low volume on it.
Mm-hmm.
I can barely hear, so I'm struggling along.
What are the roads like in Edgewater?
They're impassable.
Yeah, I can
imagine. They're terrible. They're really bad. I opened my front door a few minutes ago to see if I had any mail, and the snow was piled up against the front door.
I live up above you, actually.
Now, do you mean that literally? Or
literally. I grew up above Edgewater, the town I grew up in. And when I was a kid, and boys from Edgewater would come up the road into my town, you could tell. You could tell they were from Edgewater, like two blocks away. It was like when Pigpen, not to, you know, demean a whole town and its inhabitants, but it was like when Pigpen walks around in Charlie Brown and there's this cloud around him.
Mm-hmm.
It just had this look to them.
The scruffiness, this sort
yeah.
of, I've been to the sea look about them.
Right.
They're like old salt or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Welcome to the air.
Yeah, in the Billy Joe movie, it was Glynis O'Connor and Robbie Benson.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was, Robbie Benson was going with Glynis O'Connor, and she wanted him to have sex with her, and he was trying to be a real good boy. And then one night he was out at some festival or something, like one of those farm hoedown. Good old hoedown. And he wound up drinking some whiskey, and like the town pervert, town lech, got him into this tent or something, had his way with him, and then he woke up.
Now that was a man, right?
It was a man. It wasn't a reverend. It was just some like local, you know, pervert dude.
Right, but he was initiated into the ways of homosexuality.
Yeah, exactly. And he was, you know, he was supposed to be this really good boy who was saving himself for marriage with Glynis O'Connor, and that, you know, that was the whole thing.
So he threw himself off the bridge.
Threw himself off the bridge because he did the wrong thing.
But he, I mean, it wasn't his fault that he got drunk and was taken by a pervert.
Right, exactly.
So there's the tragedy of Billy
Joe. And a good Valentine's Day song from the Blade Runner soundtrack, One More Kiss. That's a classic. That's a great one.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
So you think that's it? You think he summed up the mystery of the song? Or?
That's as far as I'm prepared to take it right now. I think so. Sure, why not?
I still would like to talk to Bobby Gentry about this.
Yeah. Well, that's a
future
show.
I'm
going to
make it my mission, Jim.
Yeah.
As I stand before you and God, to speak with Bobby Gentry about this.
Yeah, which way are you facing when you stand between me and...
I'm still looking at the Hudson River. It's still frozen.
That's a small joke. Do you have any other songs that have bothered you through the years, lyrics you couldn't quite understand?
A lot of Rolling Stone songs.
Well, that's on purpose. That's meant that way.
Mm-hmm.
For me, you know what I don't get? The Neil Young song, Powderfinger. What's going on in that song?
I think it's about guys that sort of are tax evaders, and they're living sort of, they're living on a river, obviously,
right.
And they've kind of, they're doing something unlawful, whether it's making whiskey or they haven't paid their taxes in a really long time.
Okay.
And then the government starts coming down the river in a boat.
That's
a and the son is left there to defend the property.
Right. Let's see what these people have to say. Welcome
to the air.
You
should play that song and we'll try to figure it out. That's an excellent song, by the way.
Okay. Welcome to the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I know the lyrics to Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana.
You do?
Yes.
All of them?
Yes.
Would you like to sing them?
Well, I'm just going to sing the ones that people are confused about.
Okay.
Actually, I'm not going to sing. I'm just going to tell you what they are.
Uh-huh.
It's a mulatto, an albino, a mosquito, my libido.
That sounds right to me. What do you think he was trying to say with that song?
I don't know.
Now,
is this interpretation yours, or is it from lyric sheets, or what?
I think actually those lyrics are on the inside cover of the album. I don't remember, but those are them, I assure you.
Okay, so you'll stand by that.
Yeah.
Say that again, it's a mulatto?
A mulatto, an albino, a mosquito, my libido.
Hmm. What do you think he's trying to say there, Kurt Cobain?
I don't know.
Hmm. Well,
I'm contemplating this. I'm
okay.
Sorry. So what about you? What about Valentine's Day? Any special Valentine's Day songs or?
No, I'm going to France. I'll be in France for Valentine's Day.
Wow.
Really?
Now that must be the capital of Valentine's Day.
No, it's not actually.
Why do you say that?
Because they don't celebrate it like we do in America. Like, in America, like, kids will go to school and they'll hand out Valentines and eat, like, Valentine's Day candy and stuff. And the French don't do that. It's not that big of a deal.
Well, they eat stinky cheese and drink too much wine, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Carry big, long breads under their arms while they walk down the street in striped shirts and berets.
Wow.
Smoking filterless, stinky cigarettes.
When I was in first grade...
Don't get me started on the French, by the way.
Yeah.
Why are you going there?
I'm going with my school, the French exchange program.
Oh God! It sounds like we get the worst part of that deal. The French exchange program. They sent over a bunch of leering men who like just grab women and stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I've met French men. I know what they're like.
Yeah, me too.
Well, are you going to have French toast while you're over there? Or?
Hopefully.
I'm sorry. That's a really really bad question. Well, lots of luck in France.
Thank you.
I'm sure the weather's better.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. It is. Jim, did you have any questions for this caller?
No, I don't think so. I was just going to say that when I was in school, I think in the first grade, I had a Valentine. That was the only Valentine I've ever had.
I've never had a Valentine on Valentine's Day, anyway.
Yeah.
See? Yeah, it's one of those
time.
Holidays that you feel really, when you're not partaking in it, you really know what it feels like to be left out of it.
Oh, yeah. I hate it.
Does it cause you any particular mental stress?
No. I just hate it.
Well, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hi, welcome to the air.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Hey, Chris?
Yes?
How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Pretty good. Weather's kind of crappy, but I'm hanging in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to respond to a caller who said before that Kurt Cobain screaming kind of takes away from her music. I think that kind of adds to it. I don't know. That's his style, and I like that. But also,
I agree with you. I think he's a great screamer.
Yeah,
I think he's. I was saying this to somebody a couple of days ago that he's obviously listened to a lot of John Fogerty because his vocal. His qualities of his voice are very much, to me anyway, like John Fogerty's.
Yeah, definitely.
Who was a great screamer, too.
Yeah. But if you want songs that you can't understand, I'd say anything by Pearl Jam. I think those guys are really overrated.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that. I think them and Stone Temple Pilots are vastly overrated.
Yeah. Well, I think that Stone Temple Pilots definitely have more talent than Pearl Jam, but both of them,
more
get
what?
Out of here. But one Valentine's song that I definitely like is by Isaac Hayes called Mac Mustard, Won't You Please Come Home. That's got to be my favorite.
What's this called?
Mac Mustard, Won't You Please Come Home by Isaac Hayes.
Wow, you could put together a really good Valentine's Day show, Jim, if you were doing a show on Monday.
If I were taking notes.
Yeah, well.
I'm not. Okay, thanks for calling.
Thanks, bye.
You have to excuse me, I'm smoking a pipe and contemplating this show.
That's great.
This is something I could never do if I was in the studio there.
What, smoke the pipe or the contemplation or both?
Both.
Well, I have Powderfinger here if you'd like to hear it.
Okay.
Sure.
Anytime now.
Look out, Mama, there's a white boat coming up the river. With a big red.
I think this is set during the Civil War or some altercation.
No. There's no way this is set during the Civil War.
Why not?
A big white boat with a red beacon?
Yeah. I guess that's not possible. Well, it could be white.
the Coast Guard.
The Coast Guard, yeah, they have white coats. Let's see what this caller says.
Do you think it's possible that it's set during the Vietnam War and he's a draft evader?
Maybe. I don't know. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, Captain Beefheart versus the Glen People.
Hang up. Hang up.
Okay, I've done it.
Let's hear the song again.
All right, well, let's hear the song again. Hold on. All these songs have death figuring prominently in them. That's one thing I like about
them. This song is a lot like Ode to Billy Joe, if you think about it.
Come to think of it, the similarities are starting to dawn on me. Well, caller, are you there?
Yeah.
Do you know what this song is about?
No, because I'm not really familiar with that song in particular. I like a lot of Neil Young, but I know the older stuff.
Oh, okay.
But I was going to suggest a lyric that I find is kind of amusing, because a lot of people misunderstand it when they sing along with it.
Yeah.
And it's that Jimi Hendrix song where he's saying, "Excuse me while I kiss the sky," and a lot of guys sing along and go, "Excuse me while I kiss this guy."
Kiss this guy, yeah.
Yeah.
I said that myself.
So that's another homosexual innuendo.
Yeah, it certainly would add fuel to the Jimi Hendrix legend.
Yeah, yeah.
Going around kissing guys.
Yeah, that would be good too. But, I wish you guys luck finding Valentine's. I found mine from listening to your station.
How did that happen?
Because my Valentine is one of the DJs on the station, and it just recently happened. So maybe you'll find callers that really get to like you a lot, and then they'll call in. And
now, are you willing to tell us which DJ it is?
Yeah, I don't think you'd be too embarrassed.
Okay.
Could we guess?
I should make you guess, yeah.
Hmm.
Well, let's see. I can tell you what kind of person I'm attracted to, and then maybe you can try to guess.
Now, did you like him from hearing his show?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And what'd you do? You called him up and said, "Gee, I really like you"?
No, he used to ask really weird questions so I would give him really weird answers to win tickets. And then he was starting to feel like really depressed, and he was talking about these really morbid dreams, and I was worried about him. So
I know who it is.
Who is it, Jim?
It's got to be Andy.
Yeah.
Andy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Andy found love through WFMU.
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
Yay. So I hope everyone finds out. I'm so used to not having a Valentine that I almost, it's really weird. I don't know what to do with one, but I'll figure it out. But the song that I'll probably play for him for Valentine's Day is "I Walk the Line" by Johnny Cash.
Oh, great selection. Andy sounds like a very happy man. You've ruined this show, by the way. Now that he's not talking morbid thoughts and being extremely upset, you've taken the oomph right out of Andy's program.
But I think we're putting more...
I think you should think about leaving him, actually.
We're putting a different kind of oomph in that program now.
Oh, okay. Out with the old Andy, in with the new Andy.
Oh, no. Just don't want him to self-destruct.
I'm not saying that the new Andy won't be just as good as the old Andy.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty morbid myself. I have all kinds of voodoo stuff all over.
If you're going out with Andy, you're pretty morbid.
Absolutely. I read to him from the Satanic Bible, so...
Well, happy Valentine's Day.
You too. Good luck.
Hey, bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Now, this is great because I thought Andy Breckman was married with children.
Well?
This is terrible. Yeah. He's dating some young girl. I've got some dirt on Andy Breckman now.
Add it to what's there. Okay. Here's
so let's listen to more of Powderfinger.
All right. Wait, caller, are you there? Welcome to the air.
Hey, how are you?
All right.
All right. Hey, I'd like to make a request.
What would that be?
Valentine's Day request.
Yeah.
Stuck at Lodi again.
Oh, I see.
By the Eagles.
Is this Mick?
Mick from I'm Stuck Here.
Yeah.
I'm in the Eagles.
Well, now that's a song people misunderstand.
I can't get out of there.
Yeah. People think he's saying stuck in Lodi again, but he's not. He's saying stuck in a Lodi again.
In a Lodi.
Because if you look on any map of any state in the United States, there are three or four Lodis in it. And
uh-huh.
That's what the point of the song is.
Lodi, New Jersey.
Lodi's got to be one of those biblical names.
Yeah, it's a very typical name.
L-O-D-I.
Thanks.
I haven't talked to my wife in a while, and I figured maybe if you get a chance, you know, you could tell them I'm still at the deli because I'm still stuck there.
Well, you just told her yourself.
Well, I don't know if she's listening. I hope she is.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Jim, learn to take a hint, would you?
Yeah, I couldn't hear you.
Okay.
It was so loud.
I want to hear more of Powderfinger.
Okay. No, we don't want to hear the solo. Let me get past that part. Feel free to fill in these dead parts anytime.
I'm trying to think of lyrics to that song. Okay, go back a little bit.
Well, that's the beginning. Got numbers and...
Has numbers on the side and a gun, and it's taking him away.
No, it's making big waves.
No, he says taking me away.
No.
Oh, he says making big waves.
Making big waves. It's got to be. Here's another verse. My brother's
out hunting in the mountains. Well, I don't think this part needs any interpretation. It's the part after the solo where he says, shelter me from the blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Let me get to see what this caller has to say here.
John.
Hi, welcome to the air.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Okay.
Hi, I was looking at a Counting Crows song. It was called...
Anna Begins. It, well, it kind of states like... Wait, let me find it. I got the lyrics right here.
It states, Alex B. has hairy tits.
Do we have two people here on the air?
Gee, that was strange. Okay, we're getting there.
Now, the first caller was talking about a Counting Crows song.
No. That was one call somehow. Well, while we're waiting for the solo. Welcome to the air.
Yeah, homeopathic retrieval.
Hang up.
Let me just skip ahead here.
Be my guest.
Okay, we're coming up to it.
All right, make it louder. Sounds like he's saying in the next batch of lyrics, burning down the fields of Avalon.
Is this deconstruction what we're doing here to this song? I'm just curious, disqualified.
If what?
Is this deconstruction what we're doing here to this song? Is this what they mean by deconstructionism?
Well, yes, of course.
Okay.
Is that a bad thing?
No, that's great. But, maybe some of these people know what's going on. Wait, we're coming to the good part.
Okay, here it comes to the good part.
Shelter me from the powder and the finger. Cover me with the thought.
Shelter me from the powder and the finger.
Yeah.
Now, could powder mean like when you're skiing?
I don't think so.
And finger mean like someone shooting him the finger?
Is it a drug reference?
It could be a drug reference.
Hi, welcome to the air.
Hi. He's in Vietnam.
Oh, he's in Vietnam.
He's in
okay.
Vietnam, and he's thinking about his family back home.
All right.
And this boat's coming up the river. He doesn't know why he's there. And this boat comes up the river, and he just knows that he has to shoot,
mm-hmm.
and he gets killed.
Well, that's a simple...
But he's talking about his family. He's talking about his uncle being out.
Why's he got his father's gun?
Yeah, he's thinking about his family back home, and they're thinking about him. And but he's in Vietnam.
Oh, so he's actually hallucinating this whole episode.
Yeah.
Except the part with the boat. Well, when did they have white
this
boats?
This boat coming up the river is the enemy.
But the enemy didn't have white. Why would the enemy have a white boat with a red beacon? I mean, that's like saying, hello, we're the enemy, here we are.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, cut me some slack here. This guy is obviously, he's living a lawless life somewhere in America on a river, and they're doing something that the government doesn't want them doing. It's illegal.
What do you think? Is the revenuers going to get him or something?
It's either revenuers or tax evaders, I'm telling you, or both,
no.
Because most revenuers are tax evaders.
It's too dramatic a song to be something as stupid as that.
Well, it's about a young boy getting killed. I mean, what's more dramatic than that? I don't care.
Yeah,
what
but I mean, the subject is about Vietnam. It's not about something like having a still in your backyard, you know.
Once again, I think we should contact Bobby Gentry.
Well, okay. She probably knows.
She probably knows.
Did she co-write this song?
She probably.
Okay, I think what he's doing is he's throwing something off the dock.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has something to do with the other song.
I think Bobby Joe is on the boat. He's not actually dead. He's the guy standing on the
boat. He impregnated Billy mm-hmm. Joe's girlfriend, and that's why they're coming to shoot him.
Mm-hmm. Now, I ask you again, caller, a white boat with numbers on the side and a red beacon and a gun mounted on the bow of the boat. What kind of boat would that be?
It sounds like
ever
the
seen Coast
Guard.
Have you ever seen Coast Guard boats?
Not coming up the river to me, but it sounds like the Coast Guard.
It's the Coast Guard. I'm telling you, it's got to be. Let's not forget something, though, that Neil Young is Canadian, so maybe it's like the Royal Mounted Police.
Maybe he's got somebody tied to the tracks.
Maybe it's illegal wildlife hunting or something.
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, boy, this song is getting more and more mysterious. The more we talk about it, the less we understand it.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
I still want to know what shelter me from the powder and the finger means. Now, powder, is that the powder of gunpowder? Powder?
Welcome to
the
era.
The finger is the finger that pulls the trigger.
Yeah, powder is makeup and the finger is the media.
Hang up.
Okay.
Okay, 201-678-7743 is
welcome
the
to the air.
Hi, yeah, listen, that last caller is wrong because there's one line in the song where he goes, Daddy's gun felt reassuring.
Yeah,
you
that's
know, cause, like,
what,
why
I
would the Army
up.
Reissue, you know, let you take your dad's gun with you to the Vietnam War?
Guy's been watching too many Oliver Stone movies, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, that song is obviously set here in this country or, as far as I'm willing to go, is Canada.
Yeah. But, you know, I have to admit with the other guy on the radio that I did think it was about the Civil War, and I think it still takes place something outside of, like, contemporary times.
Why do you think that?
Well, I don't know. It's just something about the way the song sounds, and in fact, it's all this whole family reference type thing. It just sounds like, you know, Neil Young's written songs about the Civil War and things like that, or at least sort of implied that. So, I mean, I'm trying to get, like, a time reference. I'd say it's sometime, like, maybe in the 1850s or something.
Well, the gun is...
Then again, like, they wouldn't have numbers on their side at that time, so...
It's the powder is used in the gun. That's like a flintlock or something. That's not a modern...
That's not a modern rifle.
Then
again, if you have people who are living a frontier kind of existence on a river, maybe they would have black powder rifles.
Hmm.
Okay.
But I'm still concerned with the white boat with the red beacon.
Right.
I mean, what would a red beacon be?
Well, it's like a siren, isn't it?
What?
It's a siren.
A red beacon?
Yeah.
He doesn't say anything about a siren. He says a red beacon.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a poetic inversion. It's a metaphor.
Oh, get out of town.
Oh, come on. What do you think it is?
It's a light that's flashing on top of the boat. It's a beacon, red beacon, turning around.
That's a siren.
It isn't, idiot. It's a red beacon. Don't make me angry.
No, metaphors. You see, analogy.
They had no red beacons prior to electricity.
What?
You are... they had no red beacons prior to the advent
of
electricity.
Oh, right, yeah, that's true. You're right.
Okay, so I'm using...
Okay, well, I apologize.
You know, I think it's the pipe that's helping me deduce the lyrics of this song.
All right, thank you, caller.
Yeah, thank you.
I didn't mean to call him an idiot. I apologize.
That's all right.
I'm sorry.
Starting to lose it.
there, but that's okay. This is WFMU Aerial View, area code 201-678-7743. We're deconstructing Powderfinger.
I want to thank Jim for helping me out with his first phone-in Aerial View show.
Well, this is great. I'm in.
I don't think we're getting
immensely.
Anywhere near the bottom of this song, though. I don't think.
No. Caller, welcome to the air.
I'm a Canadian, and we know that finger means media.
Hang up, hang up.
Yeah. Welcome to the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm glad to see you guys at least advanced to the point of figuring out that the powder is definitely referring to, you know, a flintlock gun or, the you know, gunpowder.
What do you mean, you guys? Is this a sexist
thing?
No,
I didn't mean that derogatory.
Okay.
It's just I was getting so upset when you were starting to talk about, like, you know, to me that was a real obvious point in the song.
Yeah, the
but
Vietnam
yeah, that was
theory
so off the
has
track.
Been
to me, I think the point of the song, there's a real interesting juxtaposition of what seems to be the modern boat coming up the river and, like, the people you said are living a sort of outdated frontier existence.
Obviously.
Yeah.
If you know anything about the history of tax evaders in this country, you know that that's the kind of existence they lead.
Yeah,
they
sure.
go hunting and trapping, and they live in remote areas that can only be accessed by a boat, let's say, and they have black powder rifles
right.
and so on.
But also I think the more important part of the song is it just really gets at the point of it's the aggression in the song. You have a boat that's coming up the river that's obviously, you know, outwardly aggressive. And
he says, I don't think they're here to deliver the mail.
Right. And I mean, with the gun mounted on the front of the boat. And then you have this, you know, seemingly young and very unsure of himself boy who's told to defend his property. And his instantaneous response is to, you know, is to shoot. And I think that juxtaposition of you know, it seems like two different time frames going on. But, you know, you just still have, you know,
so the song
somebody
is
who
about
doesn't
the
understand something who wants to shoot.
The song is about the modern world encroaching upon this sort of lost civilization.
Yeah, but also just the fact that, you know, aggression is you know, aggression by the boat coming up the river and aggression being the response of this person who doesn't even know what's going on. I think it's just, it's a two-sided kind of aggression. And then you see the young boy's life lost and his life is kind of already flashing before his eyes when he's thinking about his family. And it's just a, you know, it's a kind of sad song, but it, you know, it's kind of a...
It's a very sad song, yeah. We'll agree that.
And it's, you know, it kind of points to the human condition. That's the way we confront each other and that's the way we respond to it, no matter what time or age you're from.
And there's also something very interesting going on, something else, in that he is obeying the orders of his father or his family,
mm-hmm.
and he's acting out this drama, and he doesn't know why.
Right, exactly.
Okay,
and
so
then
you can
put that, I mean, and then that's why maybe somebody was thinking about the whole Vietnam War thing, about all these soldiers who are there, and they don't even know why. I mean, it kind of transcends a lot of time and stuff. I mean, that's what's great about Neil Young songs to begin. Okay, my husband wants to butt in. What?
It's a family
call. Get off the phone!
After the Civil War, we went through a time of reconstruction.
Yeah.
At that point, we were putting a lot of military generals running armies to try to put law and order back into place. And the red beacon on the front of a white boat could definitely have been, even with the advent of electricity in 1867, an oil lamp with red glass would be a red beacon, and glass can be molded in such a way that a small amount of light can be thrown a great distance, and for sure, riverboats were white, and government...
Okay, I'll go along with that, but still, were there any white boats traveling up rivers?
Well, I mean, it's being that none of us... He's saying, were there...
It's plausible.
Still, were there any white boats traveling up rivers? I don't think that it's necessary to pinpoint it that much historically. I mean, Neil Young has never gone for absolute reality. Well, you know, in most of his songs, that's not really the point. I mean, he creates an image, he creates a feeling. I mean, I think that the feeling, you know, the feeling of the tragedy and the aggression and this poor boy who's, like you said, not even knowing what he's doing, but he knows what he has to do, you know. I think that's more important.
Okay, I think we did a more successful job on this song than on Ode to Billy Joe, anyway.
I missed that one. I would love to participate in that one.
Oh, it was a homosexual encounter. The whole song is
that was the point. If you ever read the book or the movie, that's what they made of it.
The book? We haven't heard about the book.
Yeah, yeah. That
now,
was
that a novelization of the movie?
Yeah, that's the point that they made of it. Yeah, that was interesting.
I still think an unwanted baby is a
Yeah, well, that seems to... Before they made this novelization, that seems to have been... you know, the most obvious interpretation. But you know what the thing is about any songs going down in the South is, you know, there's that mystery of some kind of taboo subject, and you know, the mystery is the half the fun.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Now, Jim, take a song like "The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia."
Yeah.
And you don't have to interpret that song at all.
No, it's right there for you. Everything's spelled out. Kind of
spelled
like
out entirely.
The Gilligan's Island theme song.
Right.
Same thing.
Not open to any kind of interpretation.
Nope.
Now, do you prefer your music sort of enigmatic, sort of, gee, it could mean anything?
I do. I love lyrics that way that don't seem to make any sense.
What a heady show it's been.
No.
Okay, we've got a few more minutes left here in this program.
Sure. You don't think this is like classic rock from hell or something? I mean, we're not even playing the songs. We're just talking about them. Is this the next step?
No, I just think they're songs we've always wanted to get to the bottom of.
Okay. Hi, welcome to the air.
Yeah, it's been a month since I've talked to you, Chris.
Really?
Yeah, you know. How was it, Bob's Media College? You had to stop your show after.
Okay. Welcome to the air.
How you doing, Chris?
Okay. How are you?
I got a cold.
Yeah, that seems to be going around.
Powderfinger. Could be, people out in the frontier and the government's coming around. They've charted and taken over the land, and they want people off the land, or they want to take censuses or enlist any young men around who are living out in the fringes. You know what I mean?
Yes, I go along with that.
Okay.
Interpretation.
And that's about it.
All right, thank you for calling.
Yeah, that seems to be what we've decided on, but there is no specific instance that we can narrow that song down to, I guess.
Yeah, historical underpinning that I know of. Mm-hmm. But I will say that we've avoided the topic of Valentine's altogether. So
well, we've got a few minutes left. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the Valentine's?
Valentine's Day for me has always been a very, it's a downer of a day. 3 years ago or 2 years ago, I did the whole thing about Valentine's Day and seeing people out together and in bars together and having dinner together and, you know, happy couples, and it's kind of tough to see that and not be part of it because our natural, the natural bent is towards, enjoying what other people are enjoying.
Right.
So if you feel that they're enjoying something you're not, it can be painful.
And selling greeting cards and chocolates and things like that. That's the whole point of it.
Mm-hmm. And they're really pushing flowers this year.
Mm-hmm.
This year, there's like 3 different flower companies you can call besides FTD.
You want to take one more stab at Powderfinger with a caller here? One or two?
Sure.
Hi, welcome to the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I have 2 sincere questions.
Right.
The first is, as DJs, how do you analyze the phenomenon of a person listening to music without listening to the lyrics? What do you think that means?
They like the beat?
I do it a lot of times.
But I mean, a kind of across-the-board habit of listening.
Are you talking about casual listeners of music? I mean...
That seems kind of judgmental. I wouldn't say I'm casual about it. I would say my approach to listening does not ever include listening to the lyrics.
I think you're doing a great disservice to the person who wrote the song. I mean, they obviously have paired the lyrics with the music for some reason.
But in the scale of how you weigh the impact of the song, it seems that you put a premium on the value of the lyrics, when in fact it may very well be that the lyrics are incidental or...
I agree with you. I think that there's something that happens at the intersection of lyrics and music that can be really powerful. I think there are times when the music carries the song, you know, lyrics are non-essential.
Mm.
I can name you 100 bands where, you know, the lyrics were never meant to be listened to.
Mm-hmm.
They're there sort of just to give the singer something to do. But I think, by and large, people who don't ever contemplate lyrics are just not interested in them. They just don't feel that they can, you know, say anything to them. But if you go along with the premise that lyrics are poetry set to music...
Which is what you very much feel.
Well, again,
I mean,
I guess
you're insulted that I even have this approach to music.
It depends on the songwriter. There are some songwriters who are horrible poets, and I have no interest in their lyrics. There were other songwriters like Neil Young and Bobby Gentry.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I put Bobby Gentry and Neil Young in the same. Well, anyway,
that's okay. They've been on the same radio show all evening. So.
You know what I'm saying? Where their lyrics are obviously poetry, and it's powerful images that they're trying to evoke. And their music is the medium with which they do that.
Mm-hmm.
They carry their poetry, across. Because if any of us had to go see, a songwriter who didn't have a band behind him, who was essentially reading his lyrics, we might find it terribly dull and uninteresting.
Okay.
So
good. I accept that. I buy it. And I think your previous analysis, without the help of your former female caller, I don't think you would have come nearly as far as you did with her assistance.
Analysis of which song?
Of the Neil Young song.
Oh, I think you're right.
I had a
vague understanding of that song, but I think that she
really pulled it all together.
Pulled it all together.
And we must thank her for that. However, my second question, before you become impatient with my irreverence for the poetics of lyric writing, is both of you, and where is our other DJ?
I'm
right here.
He's there somewhere.
There.
Okay. Silently in the recesses. My question is, you have been so forlorn about not having a Valentine, and this has been the subtext of your show.
Oh, I'm exaggerating it just for purposes of the program.
As Freud always said about cigars and jokes and all such things, there's no such thing as exaggeration. So my second sincere question is, given my interpretation of not the songs but the DJs, I propose, and I don't think you'll regret it, a Valentine's Day drink with me, one or both of you, at a place one or both or all three of us have never been to.
Well, what are you saying, that I go on a date with Jim C?
No, with me and Jim C.
Oh.
And you don't have to call it a date. It's a Valentine's drink.
It's a Valentine's
with one of your callers, which should be something that you would not fear, since this is the community you have created on the airwaves.
Chris?
Jim?
We're running into Bill's program, and we've got to wrap it up.
Well, that's a graceful way out. You know, I think that unlike Andy, you know, who we learned earlier found his love through WFMU, although other people have
he's
no
the
problem.
Unidentified DJ whose love called. Okay.
What was that?
I didn't think you had identified the DJ as being Andy. The woman who called earlier to say that she
was... she identified him. So
she did.
So
okay.
I think that's a wonderful idea. If you want to, suggest to Jim the time and place to meet.
You call back and I'll take the information, okay?
Well, I'll see to it that Jim is there.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right,
okay,
thank
Jim.
You for calling.
Okay.
Jim, thanks for helping me out with this phone-in show.
No problem, I enjoyed
really appreciate it. And I wish you a happy Valentine's Day. Whatever
you too, whatever happens.
Whatever happens, I think I won't be able to get out of my house.
Okay.
So, and now, stay tuned for William Berger's Hip Bone program.
Thank you. This is
Bye.
WFMU, Uppsala College, East Orange.